Okay, good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
We'll begin with prayer. Dear Lord, I thank you for all that you're doing, all the wonderful things you're doing in our lives, and how you're blessing us day by day. Help us to hear you out and do all this in your heart. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. You know, every moment of the day, the Lord is with us. We can enjoy communion full time.
Amen.
What I love about these chapters on the John 14 through 17, everything Jesus taught, he was laying a foundation for the time that they would represent him on the earth while he's with the Father. And it looked like he was going to leave them completely, but he left the Holy Spirit to guide them. And he's explaining things that they're going to need. And this is their journey from the Last Supper, the upper room, to Gethsemane. And these are the things that he taught. Let's see. Now, last week we was in one verse of finishing chapter 15. So, St. John 15, verse 25. Then we'll get into 16, hopefully, this class. It says, but this cometh to pass that the world might, let me start at 24. If I had not done among them the works which none other man did, they had not had sin. But now they have both seen and hated both me and my Father. But this comes to pass that the word might be fulfilled that is written in their law. They hated me without a cause. The same reason Adam trusted the serpent and ate off the tree, and that serpent spoke with no credible evidence. He went against what God said, and he disobeyed God, not fully knowing what would happen. But if he had trusted God, he would have known what would happen. And the wages of sin are death, and people are used to death and destruction, and they cope with it, and instead of learning of God, they have a love for the world, the wrong things. So with that in mind, when Christ came and showed them the truth, they hated him without a cause. He said, but when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceeds from the Father, he shall testify of me. In other words, the Holy Spirit will, over time, show you the Father. You have a true representation of the Father within and upon, because the Holy Spirit is within us from the moment we first believe on Jesus, and he comes upon him on us when we receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit and speak in tongues. And he's here to commune with us and train us and teach us and help us do what's our responsibility to do. He knows what to do. So the way we get it done, we trust him. And
question. Mm-hmm. Holy Spirit is here. And why do you think the church looks so shabby?
Ooh, I'm glad you asked. The Holy Spirit gives us what we can receive. And it's usually not enough of what we have to do. This kind, you know, I knew this for a while, but the Holy Spirit is foundational. He'll train us in the way we should go, but he's in other people also. And some of the elements we're going to need to finish our course is in others, and he's going to cause them to say what we need strategically. In order to get where we're going and do it well, we have to not only yield to the Holy Spirit within us, but we also have to yield to the Holy Spirit when he speaks through others. And many times, a lot of people miss out because he'll use people you won't expect, and he'll use them when you don't expect. And I love YouTube because it connects people that have the Holy Spirit with people that have the Holy Spirit. There's a lady that the Lord has used, I forgot her name, but she, the Lord uses her in gifts of healing, and she's had success with a lot of creative miracles. I have no experience with creative miracles, but I've seen people get healed. I've experienced healing, but not like a missing finger or a missing arm or something. I never seen it. So I told Alicia just yesterday morning, I said, you know, I'm going to study people who have experience with creative miracles, things that I'm believing for, mental abilities, things that you need to know. I'm going to seek God, but he gave it. See, the Lord, the Holy Spirit is not wasteful. He expects you to be faithful with his word. He expects you to be faithful with the Holy Spirit. When you detect his word coming from others, he expects you to be faithful with it. Mm-hmm. Sometimes people...
Like this morning.
Yeah.
That's good, isn't it?
Yeah. And if you waste it, that's on you. Sometimes people waste.
So what you do with what you hear here.
Yeah.
Every time you hear something, you need to come in for change.
Every time. How
can I change?
Yeah, that's the attitude. Knock, seek, and ask. Ray taught on that years ago. Knock, seek, and ask. That's what the Holy Spirit like. And when you're seeking him, it's easy for him to transfer the information to you. But sometimes, if it's somebody you don't expect, you discount the Holy Spirit just like you discount them. Or if it's that, and if you're not in the best mood when they say it, you may discount it. There's a lot of reasons we discount what the elements the Lord's trying to give us. And now he'll work with us. But I learned this, a lot of things that I learned, elements that I needed, I heard from people and it stuck. And I remember what they said. I remember when Reverend Rice said, you don't have to worry. He was a Methodist pastor. He said, you don't really have to worry. It stuck. The concept was there. I wasn't even saved yet. Or I may have just gotten saved. But things my dad said, it stuck. Things that others said, it stuck. One guy, he said, even a baby Christian can defeat Satan. It stuck. Times that I was weak, I remember what Earl said. Some of the people who said things that stuck have backslidden, but the word still stuck. The elements that we need is coming from the Holy Spirit. And, me having no experience with creative miracle, I'm going to study this later. I'm going to study her writings and things she say on the internet and believe God towards it. Because sometimes lack of experience can be a hindrance. But he's always trying to get, sometimes the Holy Spirit is trying to get our attention. And I noticed, I said, Lord, what do you want to say today? Sometimes he want to tell me something, and I'm in third gear trying to do my work. And usually at night, when everything's quiet, I say, Lord, what do you have? What do you want to say? And he'll say some of the most interesting things. Sometimes he'll reiterate something. And he loves us. So, and he, if you don't get it the first time, don't worry, he's gonna help you get it. But knowing these things can help. It can help us.
And I think if we get acquainted with him more.
Yeah.
And how he operates in things, it would help us if we study the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
I call him my daily companion.
Yeah.
My daily companion.
This is so communion.
Come on, And he likes for us to talk to him. He likes for us to ask him questions. He likes for us. He wants to get that relationship built with us.
Yeah.
Because his job is to show us who?
The Father.
Okay. That was just rehearsal. Y'all would be like, Holy Spirit, who? The Holy Spirit job is to show us who?
Jesus.
That's a little bit better, man. And that's the Holy Spirit job is to show us Jesus.
Yeah.
He wants to reveal Jesus. I know y'all waiting on me to get to heaven. But Holy Spirit, I want to show y'all Jesus now. So you can do what he, because see, his ministry is still supposed to be going on through us.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
So if you don't know Jesus, mm-hmm. you're not going to do very well.
He said,
the scripture said, they that know their God shall be strong and do exploits. You got to know him.
Mm-hmm.
And Holy Spirit is going to definitely.
He's going to definitely. He said, when the Comforter has come, whom I was sent to you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth which proceeds from the Father, he shall testify of me, and ye also shall bear witness, because ye have been with me from the beginning. The same training they got from the Holy Spirit, from Jesus, Paul got from the Holy Spirit.
Yes, he did. He told them, they were like, we walked with Jesus, yeah. we slept with him, we ate with him,
mm-hmm.
and they were letting Paul know, you don't have it, you didn't have it that way.
Mm-hmm.
Paul said, I have just as much as you have, because I got it through Revelation.
And that's how we get it.
Amen.
You know,
I was happy him saying that, because I'm like, yeah. Lord Jesus.
Yeah.
That's how we get it,
mm-hmm.
you know, through Revelation.
And then the Lord said something this week. I love when he teach me things and give me definitions to help me understand mm-hmm. things more clearly. I was thinking about how he said that faith is the highest form of sincerity. And then he taught me about trust, the difference of faith and trust, and then vision. Now, vision is developed faith. So my question was, why isn't vision the most sincere, the highest form of sincerity? And this is what he said. He said, vision has no foundation. Vision has expectation. Faith has foundation. And I said, come on. I said, Lord, help me get it. He said, Lucifer is vision. Adam is faith. If you think about how Lucifer lived before he was Satan, everything he saw was splendor. They were the results of what God did. And he got in sin because he didn't build on a foundation. If he stayed in faith, he would not have sinned. See, no matter what you see, and no matter how wonderful things are that God made and the things that God do, how wonderful they are, if you don't look at him, your life can still collapse. But faith looks to God. It takes him at his word without seeing. If you can do that, you can be faithful when you do see. You can have a strong life when you see. Adam was born in a war-torn world. He saw the only thing that looked right was the garden. The earth had just been drained and it was growing. But he saw that God made this garden, and he was supposed to make the world look like that. Now Lucifer, when he got the planet, it was perfect. And it had the garden, for example, but it wasn't war-torn. Adam, he was coerced into sin. He did sin, but something on the outside came with the suggestion. He didn't just say, hey, I'm going to sin. Now, Lucifer, on the other hand, he's the first sinner. He collapsed. He saw more than Adam ever did. He saw he saw God face to face.
And then what he was? He was beautiful. He was worship. He was
praise and worship.
Mm-hmm.
He was everywhere. I mean,
that's right.
I have children that's reaching adulthood, so that parents have vision and faith. But children, they expect to be like their parents right off the bat. But the only way to build their life, they have to use their faith. or they won't be able to surpass what their parents did. We're designed to surpass the next generation. The just shall live by his faith. No matter how wonderful things get, you still got to use your faith. When you get to heaven, you're still going to need your faith. Whenever you branch out, bring things to life, you have to use your faith. Vision inspires us. Trust builds on that foundation. But faith.
When we get to heaven, we have nothing to go against our faith.
No.
It will be no.
We can build without opposition.
Because who's going to be out of our life?
Satan and all his influence.
Boy, y'all, I like it. Y'all so cool and quiet.
Yeah, he won't be that corrupt. So.
No, so you won't have anything to go against. See, in our life, we have to war against.
We have to be about our faith under warfare.
Yeah, because we got an enemy here. Well, you're not going
to
have an enemy.
And every step we try to take, he's trying to push us back. We may be the first society that had to do this, the age of man.
The first society, what now?
The first society that God made that comes to God out of darkness and build under persecution. From Adam on up, that's how our life is. And that's what the Holy Spirit came. That's why we need communion. We need his leadership to do it. We need his guidance. All right. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 24.
Do anybody have any problem with getting this off? I was doing this.
That first one's a little challenging, but it's all right.
Ask your neighbor. It's real.
It's tricky.
Easy.
Yeah.
When you know.
Verse 20.
Go ahead. Before you get started, I want to say, Muffin, you did a wonderful job on that song last Sunday. It was very good. We're still kind of talking about that. Good job. It was different.
Yeah, I liked it.
Yeah. I had heard you done that before.
Which
say
one?
A scripture and then sing.
Yeah.
That's what you do.
Go
up. Okay, chapter.
Everybody got the bread out.
Verse 24, it says, "And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." The high cost that Jesus paid is our blessing. We can change all the facts in our body, because by his stripes we're healed. Verse 25, after the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me." Without faith in him, we can do all things through Christ. Dear Lord, I thank you for communion. I thank you for the way that you help us and teach us and help us grow, help us conquer. Help us to, by all means, do all that you have in store for us, all that's in your heart. Let it be in our hearts, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Amen.